The New Wilderness is Diane Cook's debut novel, and like the collection of short stories that preceded it, Man v. Nature, it focuses on the damaging effect that human communities have on their environment. Shortlisted for this year's Booker Prize, its reflections on human interaction during a time of crisis have certainly struck a chord with many readers. Diane joined me from her home in Michigan to tell me more.
It's a speculative novel that looks at a world post-climate change. It imagines that there's one wilderness area left in this country. I don't name, but it's the U.S. in my mind. There's one wilderness area left, and the novel follows a group of people who live there in a kind of scientific experiment to see if people and nature can interact and coexist any longer. Most of the people live in a really huge polluted city, and this is the only place where you're able to roam freely on land. So it's looking at the environment, nature, people, community, and it also is following the main characters who are Bee and Agnes. Bee is Agnes's mother, and it's looking at their difficult relationship, but a relationship where the one would do almost anything for the other.
Bee, the mother, has moved from the mega city because Agnes has respiratory problems, and she sees that volunteering to go to the New Wilderness is really the best hope for Agnes's health.
Yeah, so all of the participants in the study like have their own reasons for going, and that's her reason. Basically, doctors have told her that Agnes will die if she stays in the city. The air quality is poor and a lot of children are really sick. So she makes the decision to go live in this place. And I forgot to mention probably the most important part of the book is that when they're in the wilderness area, they have to live as these kind of prehistoric hunter-gatherers. They're nomadic. They can't dwell anywhere. They can't set up homes. They can't farm. They really just have to move from place to place to place like people did very long ago, like any animal would. The whole idea is that they make the least amount of impact as possible on the land. So the life that she is choosing for them, for her daughter, in order to save her daughter's life, is very hard. It's a completely different life than the one she's used to living in the city. So it's this ultimate sacrifice that a mother makes for a daughter, but it's like this really extreme sacrifice. And I wanted to look at the ways that that kind of love and that kind of loyalty, that kind of sacrifice can also alter a relationship.
As you say, it is a very harsh environment. Physically, you reflect on the fact that most of them started off with 10 fingers and toes, but they've been whittled down over the period of 3 years. It's also a police state. The wilderness rangers are constantly on their case for micro-littering.
Yeah, maybe you've spent a lot of time in natural places or wilderness areas, but there are a lot of regulations to them in order to keep them clean and wild and free of intensive human impact. So I just took that idea to its extreme and made this place somewhere that, you know, it's the last one of its kind, so the rules are even more strict. I've always been really interested in the idea of wilderness as a thing that we put a lot of meaning into, but it's really just an idea that doesn't even really apply to the natural world. It's more of a man-made idea than it is a natural ideal. So I was really interested in having this place where you would assume that people might feel free, you know, because there's no boundaries, and yet it's probably more policed and more regulated than their life in the city. I think the definition of wilderness is like a place a mile from any kind of human structure or road. Like that's technically a wilderness. And it's funny that the entire concept of wilderness centers around its proximity to humanity. And that means humanity can't be anywhere near a wild area. Otherwise, it becomes not wild anymore.
Something you could not have anticipated, of course, is the global pandemic, which seems to have caused an awful lot of readers to identify with the new wilderness and the examination of our interaction with those around us in a pressurized environment.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to hear from readers who are encountering the book now during this really weird, awful time. Of course, when I wrote it, I had none of that in my head. I have all these other associations, other weird, awful times that, that we've been through as a global community. But it's been really interesting to think about borders being shut and people kind of being stuck where they are and not having a way to flee their situation. And that was definitely one of the impulses that was driving me when I first was beginning to think about this book. It was like, well, what happens when there's nowhere left to go, when you really are just stuck in the situation and the place where you are because all land is being used or borders aren't open or there's just nowhere left to explore or there's a reason why you can't go somewhere. So it's been really interesting to have this come out during a time when people are feeling some of the feelings that are present in the book. And I think it's heightening people's reading experience of it for sure.
Well, the book is fully accessible to blind and partially sighted readers thanks to the Booker Foundation's support of the RNIB Library. You must be delighted that it's reaching an audience who might not otherwise be able to read the book.
Oh, definitely. I've heard that people really love the audiobook version. I'm really happy about that because I think really it takes a good actor and a really good producer to make a good audiobook. And I'm really glad that it seems to have been working with this book. And I want people to be able to access it and hear it or experience it. And I imagine also someone narrating it to them allows them to really kind of lose themselves in the world. And it's a really rich world to get lost in. And what's interesting is that when I started the book, I thought that this was going to be a really hard sell in that, you know, it would be take a lot for me to be able to convince a reader that this world could become a possibility. But I think by the time I finished it, it felt a lot more possible. So unfortunately.
Well, Diane Cook, many congratulations again on being shortlisted for this year's Booker Prize. And thank you very much for being a guest on Read On.
Thank you for having me.
The New Wilderness by Diane Cook is available in a full range of accessible formats from the RNIB Library.